Okay, today's daf is Shabbat daf Lamed Zayin. We're at the top of Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph at the Tashma, just to refresh our memories. We were just speaking about whether or not our Mishnah meant that you need Grufa Ketuma for the sake of Hachzara, as Hananya maintained, or whether you also need Grufa Ketuma for Shehiya. Of course, Hananya believes that you need Grufa Ketuma for Shehiya if it is uncooked, if it's not, you know, even Machal Ben Drusoy. But once it is Machal Ben Drusoy, Hananya would say that you can leave something on an open flame from Erev Shabbat to Shabbat, or Chachamim believe that you cannot, because they believe that when the Mishnah spoke about Grufa Ketuma, it was referring to even for the purposes of Shehiya. So what we're going to see today is a couple proofs, trying to prove one side or the other in terms of what our Mishnah was going to talk about. And then the rest of the daf is going to deal with the concept of Mitztamek V'yafelo and Mitztamek V'ralo. Basically, Mitztamek V'yafelo is that as you leave something on, as it continues to cook, it gets better, in which case we're going to discuss that as and the effects that it may have on leaving something over the on the flame from Erev Shabbat to Shabbat. Because if the whole concept is that, you know, we're concerned that you're going to stoke the coals and speed up the heating, the cooking process, but if something was fully cooked, you no longer have that concern. Well, what if it's fully cooked, but as it continues to cook, it gets better, right? So then maybe we have to be concerned again that you're going to stoke the coals so that it continues to cook, even though it's fully cooked, because you'd rather it be more cooked. That's called mitztamek v'yafelo. So we're going to talk about whether or not mitztamek v'yafelo is usur, even if it's fully cooked, to leave something on an open flame. Let's get started. Tashma, the Amar Bichelbo, Amar Bichama Bar Guria, Amar Rav, Lo Shanu, Ela Al Gaba, Avalatocha Aser. Right, so we said that you're not allowed to, that when we said that you're allowed to leave something on a flame, we only meant on top of the flame, right? On top of the stove. But you cannot put something inside the stove, basically like putting it in an oven, right? You're allowed to put something on top of the stove. You're allowed to leave it on top of the stove. You're not allowed to leave it inside the stove. Okay, so now we're going to make an inference from that teaching. Yemar bishlama lahachzir tanan. So it's all well and good if you say that the Mishnah was referring to hachzara, that you need grufa ketuma in order to return something to the flame. Hainu deshani bein tucha le'al gaba. And that would be the distinction between putting something in the stove, which you're not allowed to do, and putting something on top of the stove, which you are allowed to do. Ele'iyamar lehashot nan mali tucha mali al gaba. Right? So if you want to say that the Mishnah was referring to leaving something on top of the stove, then the Mishnah would be saying, okay, if you don't have Grufa Ketuma, you're not allowed to leave something on top of the stove. Okay, but you're also not allowed to put something in the stove, right? So there would be the exact same din. So what distinction are you making between leaving something on top of the stove and putting something inside of the stove? They would both be aser according to the Mishnah. So the Mishnah must be talking about Hachzara, because if it was talking about Shehiya, that you're not allowed to do Shehiya without Grufa Ketuma, then you can't leave something on top of the stove, you can't put something in the stove. In which case, Mali tocha mali al kaba. It's going to be the same din. So why then are we differentiating between the two of them and saying you cannot put it inside, but you are allowed to leave it on? That ruins the distinction. Misar Rabbi Chelbo areishakai asefakai. Ubed Hillel omrim af machzirin v'amar Rabbi Chelbo amar Rav Chama bar Guria amar Rav lo shanu ela al kaba aval tocha aser. Meaning, Your understanding of Rabbi Chelbo's comment is off, because there are two cases in the Mishnah. Right? The first case, according to this understanding, would be, or let's say the Mishnah speaks about a machlok between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. One of those machlokot, right, is speaking about Hachzara, and one of them is talking about Shehiya. The first one is talking about Shehiya, and the second one is talking about Hachzara. Two different machlokets between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. Now, you saying that it wouldn't make sense to say that Rabbi Chelbo was, or wouldn't make sense that our Mishnah was talking about Shehiya, because then Rabbi Chelbo's distinction between Tocha and Al Gaba isn't relevant, because they would both be Aser. That's only if you assume that Rabbi Chelbo is making a comment on that first case about Shehiya. But what if Rabbi Chelbo is talking about the second case about Hachzara? In which case, just read it like this: by the second machloket Beit Hillel Beit Shammai, where they're debating these the requirements for Hachzara, Rabbi Chelbo says that you're allowed to do Hachzara on top of it, but you're not allowed to do a chazara within it, Right? That would make perfect sense. And so as long as Rabbi Chelbo is talking about the Seifa, the latter case in the Mishnah that's talking about Hachzara, then his statement makes perfect sense and isn't a proof for Hananya or the Chachamim. You only have the problem that you raised if you assume that he's talking about the first case about Shahia. Then yes, if he holds that doing Shahia on top of it is Asr, then there's no distinction. Right? But he's clearly talking about the second case, which is about Hachzara, so you don't really have an issue. Tashma, okay, a different proof. Now we're going to try to prove the Chachamim. Shtei Kirot Hamatimot echad hamatimot, right? Two side by side stoves. Chad grufa ketuma vechad she'en grufa ketuma. One has grufa ketuma, the other one does not. Mishain al gabe grufa ketuma. The ein mishain al she'ena grufa ve'ena ketuma. You're allowed to leave something on the flame that is garufa katum. You can't leave something on the flame that is not garufa katum. And the chiddush here is, even though there's residual heat from the non-garufa katum stove that might impact the food that's on the garufa katum stove because it's right next to it, still you're allowed to leave it on the garufa katum stove. Umahein mishahin. And what are you allowed to leave on the stove that's garufa katum? Beit Shammah. My omrim velo klum. So Beit Shammah says, you can't leave anything on the flame. No leaving on the flame. Ubeit Hillel omrim chamin, right? Avalo tavshil, right? Fully like boiled water, fully, you know, hot boiled water. However, not food. Akar, however, if you took something off the flame, divrei hakol lo yachzir, you are definitely, everyone agrees that you are not allowed to put it back on it. Divrei Rabbi Meir. That is Rabbi Meir's shita. That's Rabbi Meir's shita, right? Now, we saw in our Mishnah, a machloket, two really different arguments between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. Now what we're going to see is Rabbi Meir's understanding of what the machloket Beit Hillel Beit Shammai is, and then we're going to see Rabbi Yehuda's understanding of what the machloket Beit Hillel Beit Shammai is. So we'll basically end this with three versions of this machloket Beit Hillel Beit Shammai, and from those three versions, we're going to try to bring a proof. For one of the sides, specifically the sides of the Chachamim. So I'll map everything out. But just what's important to realize up until now is we said that according to Rabbi Meir, the Machloket is as follows. When it comes to Shehiyah, Beit Shammai says everything is Asr, and Beit Hillel permits boiling water, or liquid, but not solid. When it comes to Hachzara, according to Rabbi Meir, Beit Shammai says it's all Asr, and Beit Hillel says that it's allowed. Sorry, when it comes to Hachzara, Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel agree that it is Asr. Hachzara, according to Rabbi Meir, everyone agrees it's Asr. Shehiya, Beit Shammai says it's Asr, and Beit Hillel permits it by hot liquid. That's Rabbi Meir's opinion, that's Rabbi Meir's version of the Machloket Beit Hillel Beit Shammai. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda argues on Rabbi Meir's understanding of the Machloket. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Beit Shammai Omrim Chamin Avalo Tavshil. Right, take it one step more, Mekil. Beit Shammai is the one who says Shehiya is allowed by liquid, but not by foods, by cooked dish. Beit Hillel omrim chamin v'tavshil. Beit Hillel says no, it's both for hot liquids and for hot and for cooked dishes. You're allowed to do shehiyah. Beit Hillel omrim Beit Shammai omrim notlin aval lo machzirin. So Beit Shammai is the one who says all of Hachzara is Asr. Beit Hillel omrim af machzirin, and Beit Hillel says no, you're even allowed to do Hachzara. So again, Rabbi Yehuda believes that Beit Shammai says you're allowed to do Shehiya by a cooked liquid, but not a cooked food. And Beit Hillel says you're allowed to do Shehiya by cooked liquids and cooked foods. Beit Shammai says you're not allowed to do Achzara. Beit Hillel says you're allowed to do Achzara. That is Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. According to Rabbi Meir, Beit Shammai says you cannot do Shehiya at all. Beit Hillel permits it for liquid. And both of them agree that you can't do Achzara. Those are the two opinions, Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Meir, as they pertain to what the Machloket Beit Hillel Beit Shammai is. Okay, now the proof. Yamar Bishlama Lahashotnan. Right, so if you want to say that our Mishnah is speaking about Shehiya, right, when it requires Grufa Ketuma, that was talking about for Shehiya, and Kal V'chomer for Achzara, Matnitin Mani Rabbi Hudahi. Okay, then which opinion would our Mishnah be following for the sake of, we have two opinions about what the Machloket Beit Hillel Beit Shammai is, right? We have Rabbi Huda's Shita and Rabbi Meir's Shita, right? So who is our Mishnah following? Does the author of our Mishnah follow Rabbi Yehuda's Shita of the Machloket or Rabbi Meir's Shita of the Machloket? Well, if you want to say that our Mishnah is talking about Shehiya, that you need Grufa Ketuma for Shehiya, then you could just say the author of our Mishnah holds like Rabbi Yehuda in terms of his understanding in the Machloket Beit Hillel Beit Shammai. How so? Because because he would be identical, right? Because Rabbi Yehuda said that the Machloke Behil Beit Shammai is in Shehiya of whether or not it's only for liquids or addition or also for cooked foods. And when it comes to Hachzara, Beit Shammai says totally Aser, and Beit Hill says it's Mutter with Grufa Ketuba. Okay, then that's exactly what our Mishnah said. In which case, if you believe that the Mishnah is talking about Shehiya, then the author of our Mishnah has a complete and total alignment with Rabbi Yehuda's understanding of the Machloket Beit Hillel Beit Shammai, and everything works out. The author of our Mishnah doesn't hold by Rabbi Meir, but at least he holds like Rabbi Akiva. I amart lahachzir tnan. However, if you believe that our Mishnah is talking about hachzara, then you have a problem. Matnitin mani, right? Who does the author of our Mishnah follow if you believe that they're talking about, that our Mishnah is talking about hachzara, wherein shehiya is definitely mutter without grufa ketuma, and the only requirement for grufa ketuma comes by hachzara. Lo Rabbi Yehudahi, velo Rabbi Meir, right? So it's not Rabbi Yehuda and it's not Rabbi Meir, right? Because the author, if you believe that the machloket, that the requirement for grufa ketuma only comes in by hachzara and doesn't exist at all by shehiya, then you're not following the version of the Machloket Behil Beit Shammai that Rabbi Yehuda spells out or that Rabbi Meir spells out. Then you have a problem. E Rabbi Meir, Kashu Beit Shammai Bechada, right? So if you hold like Rabbi Meir, then you have one lack of parity with, or one difference between what Beit Shammai's Shita is, and if you hold like Rabbi Meir, then there's a difference between what Beit Shammai holds in our Mishnah as opposed to what Beit Shammai holds according to Rabbi Meir. Because in our Mishnah, Beit Shammai holds that you're allowed to do Shehiya, on hot liquid, but Rabbi Meir believes that Beit Shammai says that hot liquid, by Shehiya, by hot liquid, is Aser. Ulabeit Hillel Betarti. And furthermore, not only do you have that one difference between the Beit Shammai quoted in our Mishnah and the Beit Shammai quoted by Rabbi Meir, but you actually have two differences in the Beit Hillel quoted by Rabbi Meir and the Beit Hillel quoted by our Mishnah. Because according to Rabbi Meir, Beit Hillel agrees that Hachzara is Aser, but our Mishnah said Beit Hillel says Hachzara is fine. And then as far as Shehiya goes, you have Beit Hillel saying that it's usher to do by Tavshil, according to Rabbi Meir, but our Mishnah says Beit Hillel says it's fine to do by Tavshil. In which case, if you think that we're following Rabbi, if you think our Mishnah is following Rabbi Meir's opinion of the Machloket Beit Hillel Beit Shammai, then you have a problem. One problem with Beit Shammai and two problems with Beit Hillel. Okay, but what do you think he's talking about? But then maybe the author of Mishnah is just following Rabbi Yehuda. E Rabbi Yehuda, Kashya Grufa Ketuma. Well, then you have a different problem if you think that the author of Mishnah is holding like Rabbi Yehuda, because then you have a difficulty by Grufa Ketuma, because the author of our Mishnah does not require Grufa Ketuma for Shehiya at all. Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, you need Grufa Ketuma to do Shehiya, but according to the author of our Mishnah, you don't need Grufa Ketuma to do Shehiya. In which case, if you think the Machloket is about Hachzara, or rather, if you think our Mishnah is talking about Hachzara requires Grufa Ketuma, but Shehiya does not require Grufa Ketuma, then the author of our Mishnah follows no version that we know about of the machloke between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. So you have a problem. Le'olam, im lecha lahachzir. So, lahachzir tanan. No, maybe you could still say that our Mishnah was talking about hachzara. That when it required grufa ketuma, it was only talking about a requirement for grufa ketuma by hachzara, but not shehiya. V'tana didan savar like Rabbi Yehuda bechada, upaligale bechada. Right? And our Tana, the author of our Mishnah, holds like Rabbi Yehuda for one thing, but doesn't hold like Rabbi Yehuda for another thing. What does he hold like Rabbi Yehuda for? Savar like Rabbi Yehuda bechada bechamim tavshil nodlin machzirin. Upaligale bechada de ilu tana didan savar lehashot afalpi. Right. So in which case, our Tana holds like Rabbi Yehuda's Shita of the Machloket between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. And all those stand, meaning he still aligns with Beit Hillel perfectly in terms of their perspective of what the Machloket Beit Hillel Beit Shammai is. Right? So our Tana teaches the Machloket Beit Hillel Beit Shammai exactly like Rabbi Yehuda teaches it. He just has one difference of opinion. What's that difference of opinion? As to whether or not Shehiya requires Grufa Ketuba.
that difference of opinion doesn't impact whether he holds that the machloket Beit Hillel Beit Shammai accords with Rabbi Yehuda's shita. He does believe that Rabbi Yehuda is correct in his version of the machloket Beit Hillel Beit Shammai. However, he just thinks that when Beit Hillel permitted shehia by hot foods and by liquids, it was talking about a case that wasn't garuf v'katum. Rabbi Yehuda thinks that when Beit Hillel permitted shehia by hot foods and hot liquids, that was talking about when it was garuf v'katum. So it's not a difference in terms of their psak and what they hold and what's allowed and what's not allowed in terms of shehia and hachzara. The only difference is what case were they talking about there. Meaning we all agree with what or the author of our Mishnah and Rabbi Yehuda agree what Beit Hillel's shita is in terms of what you're allowed to do and what you're not allowed to do. But what was he talking about? Was he when he spoke about shehia? Was he speaking about shehia on a stove that was garuf v'katum, or was he talking about a shehia only on a stove that even was not garuf v'katum? That's their machloket, and that's perfectly legitimate. The author of our Mishnah still holds like Rabbi Yehuda. He just has a difference of opinion on a detail of the case. Ibailu mahu lismoch. Just before I move on, I feel that I should just mention we brought all the proofs that we have, and none of the proofs seem to be conclusive in determining whether we pass in like Chananya or the Chachamim. We see that both of their readings are legitimate readings of our Mishnah. Okay, Ibailu, different question. Mahu lismoch ba. Can I put food next to the stove? Right, the stove, you know, is pretty hot. It's got hot walls, and I'm just gonna put it on the ground right next to the stove. Press it up against it, and it's gonna heat it a little bit. It's not as much as putting it on top of it. Do I say that? Yeah, it was only you couldn't put it on top or inside of it on Shabbat. You can put it next to it, or maybe no, next to it is also a problem. Tashma. So let's try to bring a proof. Shtei kirot matimot, echad grufa v'ktuma v'echad she'ina grufa v'ktuma. The case we brought earlier, right? Two side-by-side stoves, right? One was garuf katum, one wasn't. Mishayin al gabei grufa v'ktuma v'afagav dekasalik le havla me'idach, right? Meaning you're allowed to leave it on top of the garuf katum stove, even though there's a stove right next to it that's not garuf v'katum, and the heat, the residual heat from the stove that isn't garuf v'katum should be impacting the stove right next to it. Isn't that basically like being somech? Isn't that basically like putting it right next to it? So I should learn from there that you're allowed to put something next to a hot non-garuf v'katum stove, because you're allowed to put something on a stove that is next to a hot non-garuf v'katum stove, as long as the stove you put it on is garuf v'katum. Dil mashani hatam de kevan de midalia shalit ba avira. Right? No. So it could be that that's a different case, because putting it on top of the stove, which is next to a stove that isn't garuf v'katum, is a little bit different because it's on top of it and it's surrounded by air on all sides, in which case the residual heat coming from the stove next to it is not going to have the same impact. It has to pass through the air, right? Whereas when you put it on the floor, pressed up against the stove, it's not as aerated there, in which case it's going to maintain its heat much more intensely, even though it's just next to it. Okay, let's try another proof. Tashema, the Amar Rav Safra, Amar Rav Chia, Katma ve'nit labta, somchin la, umikaimin aleha. So if you did grufa ktuma, and then there was another flare up after you covered the coals in ash, you're still allowed to put food next to that stove. And you're allowed to leave food that you did shehiyah with on that stove. Vinotlin mimena, and you're allowed to take food off of that stove. Umachzirin la, and you're allowed to put food back on that stove. Why? Because it had grufa ktuma. You did grufa ktuma. There was a flare up, but still, you did grufa ktuma. Shema mina lismoch nami. Katma in, lo katma lo. So what can I learn from there? Yeah, you're allowed to be somech the food. In what case? When there was ketuma, when you properly covered up the coals. Isn't that that's the case that we just taught, that you did grufa ketuma, you did ketuma rather, there was a flare up, still you're allowed to be somech the food, put the food next to the stove, in which case I can infer from there that it's only if there is ketuma that I can put food next to the coals, right? But if a stove doesn't have grufa ketuma, I'm not allowed to. Ulatamech, notlin mimena de katani katma I de katani katma in lo katma lo. Well, that's a poor inference because our Mishnah also speaks about taking it off, right? Meaning we said if you did ketumah and there's a flare up, you can still put it next to the flame. You can leave it on top of the flame. You can take it off the flame. You can put it back on the flame. You wanted to say that. If this case, since this case was talking about ketuma, all these things can only be done in a case of ketuma. So smicha can only be done in a case of ketuma. But it also taught taking something off the flame. You want to tell me that you would make the same inference about taking something off the flame that you can learn from our case that you're only allowed to take something off the flame if the flame, if there was ketuma? You can always take something off the flame. So your inference isn't proper, right? Ella tana notlin mishum machzirin, meaning the only, rather, say like this, the only reason I taught notlin, that you can take it off the flame, which is obvious, of course you can take it off the flame, you can do that whether there's grufa ketuma, you can always take it off the flame, but I only taught notlin because that's like the preemptive statement to machzirin, right? I say you're allowed to take it off and put it back on, right? Because the two come together. You're allowed to take it off, you're allowed to put it back on. I'm not saying you're only allowed to take it off if there is grufa ketuma. I'm saying you're only allowed to put it back on if there is grufa ketuma. And so I kind of taught it as an introductory statement. You're allowed to both take it off and put it back on, even though the only chiddush is about putting it back on. So here too, the only reason I taught somchin in this case is because of mekaimin, meaning just like I wanted to teach you that you're allowed to put it back on because there was ketuma, so I said you're allowed to take it off and put it back on. So too, I wanted to teach you that you're allowed to leave something on the top, like shehia. So I said you can do smicha or shehia, even though the chiddush was about shehia and not about smicha. So you shouldn't derive from there that the only case I can do smicha is a case of grufa ketuma. Hachi hashta. Wait, is that a comparable case? That's really not a good comparison, right? You can't tell me, you can't compare the two terms, the two terms of notlin and machzir and taking it off and put it back on with the two terms smicha and shehia. Somchin bechad makom hu, umekaimin bechad makom hu, right? Umekaimin bechad makom hu, meaning somchin and putting food next to a flame and leaving food on top of the flame happens in different places. They're different cases. Whereas notlin and machzirin is one thing. You're only allowed to put something, it's only relevant to teach you that you're allowed to put something back on if you first took it, right? Taking it off and put it back on is a function of the same action. It's doing something and then reversing that, right? And so that makes sense that you only taught me notlin in order to afterward teach me machzirin. It doesn't really make sense to tell me to teach smicha and shehia together. Those are two completely different processes altogether. So my haviyala, well, what's the conclusion here? What's like we don't have a proof. So what's how do we paskin? Tashma, it's coming here. Conclusive proof. Kira shehisikua begefer ve'etim. You have a stove that you fueled with wood or with pulp. Somchin la ve'en mekaimin ele imkein grufa v'ketuma. You are allowed to put something next to it. However, you're not allowed to do shehia on it unless there's grufa ketuma. Gechalim she'amimu o she'natan alea ne'oret shel pishtan. Coals that were stoked coals that died down, or if you put something on top of those coals, harehi kiketuma, right? That is like it was katum. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Oshia, katma vehuvhara mishain aleha chamin shehuchmu kol tzorkan. I can see from here that there's an explicit teaching that I'm allowed to do smicha, that I'm allowed to put food next to a stove, even if there's no grufa ketuma. Okay, next related topic. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Oshia, katma vehuvhara mishain aleha chamin shehuchmu kol tzorkan vetavshil shebishel kol tzorko. If you did ketuma and there was a flare-up afterward, you're allowed to leave hot foods or liquids that were fully heated up or foods that were fully cooked on that flame. Shma mina mitzdamek v'yachalom muter. Right, so we can learn from there that even if something will continue to cook and get better as it continues to cook, you're still allowed to leave it on the flame. You should allow to do Shehiyah. Shani Hacha de Katma. Right? Well, no, that you can't learn that from there. The only reason that Rabbi Yoshiya permits that is because there's Ketuma. You can't leave something on an open flame. It's going to keep, if it's going to keep cooking and become better and better. Yihachi Maila Memra. If that's the case, then what's the chiddush here? Meaning, what was Rabbi Yoshiya teaching? You have to do ketuma in order to let something keep cooking. I know that. That's obvious. That's why I assume that there was a chiddush here about mitstamak v'yafelo. But if there's no chiddush about mitstamak v'yafelo, then isn't Rabbi Yoshiya just teaching me that you need to have, you know, shehiya if you need to have grufa ketuma for shehiya? Like, what's the chiddush? Huvhara itzricha le mahuritema kivan de huvhara hadra la milta. Kamaita, Kamash Milan. No, there was a chiddush because Rav Yoshiya taught that it flared up again. Even though you did ketuma, it flared up again. So you may have thought, well, if it flared up again, then it's like I didn't do ketuma at all. So Rav Yoshiya was teaching you, no, even if it flares up again, it's still considered like you've done ketuma, and that's why you're allowed to leave it on. But that was not to come to teach you a chiddush that if it was mitzamek v'yafalo, you'd also be allowed to leave it on. Amar Rav Barchana. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, katma vehuvara mishain ale chamin shehuchmu kol tzorkan v'tavshel shebishel kol tzorko. Right, so if you have, if you did ketuma and then there's a flare up again, you're allowed to leave fully cooked dishes or hot liquids fully cooked dishes that have cooked as long as they need to, and hot dishes. Even on Gechalim of Rotem, right? Gechalim of Rotem were hotter and they maintained their heat longer. Shmamina mitzamek v'yafelo mutter, right? So we can kind of infer from this Mishnah that you're allowed to leave fully cooked things on the flame, even if they will continue to cook nicely. That's the chiddush of the Mishnah. Shani hacha de katma. No, that case, our Mishnah is a case, or this teaching is a case of ketuma. You're not allowed to infer from this Mishnah that you're allowed to do mitzamek v'yafelo even if there's no ketuma. Ihachi mai lameimra. Well, then if that's the case, there's no chiddush. There's no chiddush of the teaching here. If this, we're talking about a case of ketuma that you're allowed to do mitzamek v'yafelo, huvara itzricha le hainu. Meaning, no, I needed to teach you because there was a flare up, right? You wouldn't have assumed that if it was maybe you would have assumed that if it was a flare up, then it would have gone back to its previous state as non katuma. So I taught you that, no, even if there's a flare up, you're allowed to. Hainu hach. But that's exactly what you taught me before. What's the chiddush? Gechalim shel rotem itzrichale. No, I needed to teach you this, to teach you that that's even the case in the case of gechalim shel rotem, these special coals, that are hotter, they maintain their heat for longer. You would have said, okay, in normal coals, if there's a flare up, I'm still going to say it's ketuma, but by Gichalim Shel Rotem, if there's a flare up, I'm not going to say that I'm going to say that's no longer katum. So that's the chiddush, that it's still considered katum, and that's why you're allowed to leave something on, even if it's going to become better as it continues to cook. Amar Rav Sheshet, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kira Shesikua Begefet Ve'etzim, Mishayin Ale Chamin Shelo Huchmu Kol Tzorkan, V'tavshil Shelo Bishel Kol Tzorko. Right? So, If you have a stove that was heated with wood or with pulp, you're allowed to leave something on that hasn't fully cooked or liquid that hasn't fully heated up. Akar lo yachzir achigrof. Achigrof or achitain afar, right? But however, if you took it off that flame, then you're not allowed to put it back on until you've done grufa ketuma. Kasavar matnitin lahachzir tnan, aval lahashot mishayinan afalpi she'eno garuf ve'eno katum. Right? So clearly, he holds that you're allowed to, that you only need grufa ketuma for the sake of hachzara, but you don't need grufa ketuma for the sake of shehiyah. Amar rava tarvaihu tanani. So Rava asks, what's the point of teaching me that? Right? What this is a chiddush? Rav Sheshet just told me Rabbi Yochanan's opinion about Shehiya and Hachzara. We already knew both of those things, right? That shouldn't have come to as a chiddush to anyone. Lahasho tanina ein notnin et apat betocha tanur im chasheicha velo chara agabe gechalim ela kadeshi yikru paneha hakamru paneha shari lahachzir. Shari, right? So where did we teach you about Shehiya? Because we said you're not allowed to put bread in an oven right before Shabbat, and you're not allowed to put a biscuit on a coal unless there is enough time before Shabbat for the crust to form, right? So meaning if there was enough time for the crust to form before Shabbat, you're allowed to. So that already teaches me that Rabbi Yochanan is matir by By Shehiyah, because that's what Shehiyah is. It has enough time to cook, you know, a certain amount before Shabbat, in which case you can let it continue to cook. So I already know that Shehiyah is allowed, right? As far as Hachzara, Lahachzir Namitanina. You also already taught me that Din by Hachzara, Beit Hillel Omrim Af Machzirin Va'adkan Lo Kashru Abe Hillel Ela Begrufa Vektuma, right? That Beit Hillel said you're allowed to do Hachzara, but he was talking about a case where the stove was Garufa Katum. Aval B'Sheina Grufa Vektuma Lo. However, if the stove was not Garufa Katum, you're not allowed to. Rav Sheshet Nami Diukid Matnite Kamash Malan, right? No, okay, so what was Rav Sheshet being Mechadish here? I mean, Rav Sheshet just brought me in a teaching of Rabbi Yochanan that basically taught me two things that I already knew. One was that Shehiyah was allowed, and one was that Hachzara requires Grufa Vektuma. Shkoyach, we already knew that. We taught that a number of times already. So what was Rav Sheshet coming to do? Well, Rav Sheshet was coming to teach you a diuk in a Mishnah, right? What did the Mishnah teach you? That you're not allowed to leave to put bread in an oven or put a biscuit on a coal right before Shabbat, right? Unless there was enough time, unless there's enough time for it to start to form its crust beforehand. The Mishnah doesn't say explicitly that if it did have enough time, you're allowed to, and that means that Shehiyah is allowed without Grufa Vektuma. So Rav Sheshet was coming to teach me that diuk in the Mishnah, that based on that Mishnah that spoke about putting dough in an oven or a coal on a biscuit, I can learn that if it did have enough time, you're allowed to, and therefore Shehiyah is mutter without Grufa Vektuma. So Rav Sheshet was just coming to teach me that diuk in the Mishnah. Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, Amar Rav Yochanan, Kira Shesikua Begefet Ve'etzim. You have a stove that you fueled with wood or with pulp. Mishayin Alea Tavshil Shabishil Kol Tzorko V'chamin Shuchmu Kol Tzorkan. You'll have to leave on foods that are fully cooked. V'afil Mitztamak V'yafalo. Even if it's Mitztamak V'yafalo. Even if it's going to continue to cook better. Amar Lei Ahum Derabanan Le Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda. So one of the rabbis said to Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, how Rav Shmuel Damre Tarvayu Mitztamak V'yafalo Asar. But wait, how could you say that? Rav Shmuel say together that you're not allowed to do that, that Mitztamak V'yafalo is Asar. Amar Lei Atu Late Ana Iyada. The Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Mitztamak V'yafalo Aser. He kamina lecha le Rabbi Yochanan chamina. He says, yeah, I know they hold that. I was just telling you Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. Rabbi Yochanan's allowed to argue, and he argues, but I know very well that Rav Shmuel both say it's Aser. Amar le Rav Ukva Mimeshan, Rav Ukva Mimeshan said le Rav Ashi atun demikarvitu le Rav Shmuel aviduk Rav Shmuel. In my city where or you live, you live close to Rav Shmuel, so you should really follow Rav Shmuel who said Mitztamak V'yafalo is Aser. Ananavik Rabbi Yochanan, we're going to hold like Rabbi Yochanan who holds this. That's mutter because we live somewhere else. Amar le Abaye le Rabbi Yosef mahu lehashot. So you're allowed to leave something on the flame. Amar le Ha Rabbi Yehuda Mishahule. Well, you know, we see that Rabbi Yehuda does Shehiyah without Grufa Ketuma. V'achil, and I saw that Rabbi Yehuda did it and he ate. Amar le Barmine the Rabbi Yehuda the Kevan de Mesukan who afilu b'Shabbat namishar le me'avad le. V'livelach, my. Well, you can't take Rabbi Yehuda as an example. He's sick. He's allowed to cook even on Shabbat if he needs to. He's not a good example. But what about for me and you? We're not sick. Amar le Besura Mishahu. In Sura they did Shehiyah. Did Shehiyah. The Ha Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Mari. De'uvda hava umishahu le v'achil. So Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak is very particular about these dinim, and I saw him do shehiyah and he ate from it. Amar Rav Ashi ka'amina ka'amid Rav Huda v'shahin le kasadar hasana. You know, I was before Rav. I was with Rav Huna, and I saw him do shehiyah on hash made out of fish and wheat. V'achil and he ate it. V'lo yadana imishum dekasavar mitzamak v'yafalo muter. And I didn't know what diuk to make from his word from his actions. Is that because he holds that that mitzamak v'yafalo is muter? That even if you leave something on for longer and it's going to be better for it, it's allowed. Imishum dekevan deitbe micha mitzamak v'ralo. Or did he hold that because this dish has wheat in it, it's actually mitzamak v'ralo? Meaning fish has mitzamak v'yafalo, and so maybe by his actions I can see that mitzamak v'yafalo is mutter because he still ate it. Or maybe he holds that this whole thing that the metziyatz is different, right? That this is actually a case of mitzamak v'ralo because there's wheat in it, and the wheat dries out and gets bad. Amar Rav Nachman mitzamak v'yafalo aser. So Rav Nachman says mitzamak v'yafalo is aser, mitzamak v'ralo mutter, and mitzamak v'ralo will be mutter. Klala demilta. The general rule is as follows. Kol de'it be micha, mitztamak v'ralo. Anything that has wheat in it is mitztamak v'ralo. Lebar mitavshil delifta. Except for a dish including turnips, that would be mitztamak v'yafalo. De'it be micha, mitztamak v'ralo. So unless the wheat dish has turnips in it, then it's not no longer mitzamek v'ralo. The afal gav, the eat bay micha mitzamek v'yafalo. Even though it has wheat because it also has turnips, it's still mitzamek v'yafalo. The honey mili the eat bay bisra, and that's only if that dish also has meat in it. Aval late bay bisra. However, if there's no meat in there, mitzamek v'ralo, then it actually is mitzamek v'ralo. V'chi eat bay bisra nami, and if it did have meat, we're limiting the case even more. Lo amran, we didn't say that it's mistamak v'ralo, lo amran, ela de lo kabayla lo orchin. If he doesn't need it for his guests, aval kabayla lo orchin mistamak v'ralo, right? But if he does need it for his guests, then he does not want it cooking for longer because it's going to make the portion smaller and it's going to be embarrassing. Even if it would taste better, he doesn't want to give him such small portions. Lepada, lifda, daisa, v'tamri, mitstamak v'ralahen. Dishes that are made out of figs, cereal, and dates, so those are always going to be mitzamek v'ralo. We'll stop here.